This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Glad you could be listening today. It's been almost 6 weeks since an EF5 tornado ripped through the city of Moore, Oklahoma. The tornado was more than 2 miles wide with winds estimated at 210 miles an hour, and it killed 23 people and injured almost 400. It also destroyed hundreds of homes and businesses in the area. Since then, people in Moore have been trying to recover to cope with both the physical and emotional toll the storm has taken. Thousands of volunteers from relief agencies have been on the ground in Oklahoma since the disaster, including many from Wisconsin. Chriselle Greenwood is one of those volunteers. She works in electronic communication for the Salvation Army. Tom Tex is the service extension director for the organization's Wisconsin Upper Michigan Division, which includes disaster services work. They're with us in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
How does mobilization happen? You know, a large-scale disaster like the massive tornadoes in Oklahoma takes place. How do you assess what kind of support is needed and how it goes into action?
Well, the neat part about the Salvation Army, we are an international organization. So we have folks on the ground in just about every country of the world. So when an event happens, whether it's a tornado like in Oklahoma or flooding in Milwaukee, we have folks there that are already been called upon by the local emergency management to find out what we can do. In most cases, throughout the year, we're already meeting with emergency management just to give them what the Salvation Army's response will be, what they can expect, so that when that time comes, they know that we're going to be there. We're going to be doing X, Y, and Z, and how they can access that. From there, it depends upon the local Salvation Army. As they look at, and again, when you get to the magnitudes of the Oklahoma tornadoes, they realize that, you know, this isn't going to be done with just some local volunteers. They're going to need some additional resources and assets brought in. So then they put that call out to our National Salvation Army, which then, you know, it trickles down to the various territories.
Is there, for lack of a better term, a menu of services that the Salvation Army has to offer, or do you specialize in a particular few services?
Yeah, typically the Salvation Army is called upon for the first 24 hours response of feeding and hydrating not only those that were directly affected by the tornado, but also the rescue and recovery personnel. We want to make sure that they're kept healthy and fed and hydrated is the bigger part of it during their recovery efforts and their response. Beyond that, the Salvation Army prides itself in the fact that we are a little bit of the gap filler. There are other agencies and groups that come in and say, you know, we're going to do the sheltering. Great. You guys do the sheltering. We'll maybe be part of the feeding operation of that shelter. But what are the needs in the community? Every event's different. As you get involved in it, you find out that that's being handled by a local church group or whatever it might be. So then we're going to be the gap filler to whatever those needs are.
Is there something of an art to not stepping on the toes of another agency?
Somewhat, yes. It really is. We've worked with, you know, the Red Cross and the Southern Baptist in many events around the country, and we do know, you know, who's got what strength. And we'll kind of – and they know our strengths. So we can work with them, you know, side by side because, again, there's no one agency that's going to be able to do it on their own.
Chriselle, where does your specialty come in? You are involved in the electronic communication. And so when the disaster response starts to happen, how do you kick into gear?
You know, just as important as responding comes telling our story. And so that's what I was there for, kind of to act as a reporter on behalf of the Salvation Army. I went and I went into the field each day, meaning, you know, heading out to some of those areas that were hit the hardest. And I just followed crowds. I maybe followed one of our canteen trucks, our mobile feeding units, to gather the stories and to talk about how the Army responds to these kind of disasters.
Again, that was one of our requests from our territorial headquarters is different positions that are required. And one of them was public information officer and then also a media or story writer. And knowing Chriselle and what, you know, the experience we've had with her in our office here in the Milwaukee area, I thought that would be a good fit. that she could go and be of assistance there.
How do you actually prepare volunteers to do this sort of work? I mean, training is one thing, but actually being on the ground in the aftermath of a tornado is something completely different that I would imagine does not get covered in a conference room.
The Salvation Army, we will not deploy any volunteers unless they've gone through our formal training and had some experience in disaster work here locally. You're right. We can try to prepare them in a training session of what to expect and how it will affect and those sort of things. But as I've talked to Chriselle today, since she's back, you can only prepare them to a point, and then it's up to the individual.
Had you been out on disaster of this scale before?
Not of this scale. Nope, not at all. My background is the media, and I had worked previously in a different life for local TV stations. And, you know, that's what I was bringing to the plate. I was able to share that side of the picture. I talked with Tom a lot about even just packing, where to start at. And I remember he said, you don't know where you're going to be sleeping. You might be in a tent. That I'll never forget that line. And that's when it became real that, you know, we're responding to a disaster and we have no idea what our conditions are going to be. And so there was a lot of pack your raincoat, pack your boots, pack T-shirts and jeans and hats, lots of hats. For me, with having long hair, don't forget to take your ponytail elastics. But that tent line really stood out to me. And on my way out the door, I checked my email one last time, and I had just received an updated email from the folks in Oklahoma informing me that there was a large softball tournament taking place in Oklahoma City that weekend. It was the NCAA championships. Every single hotel in the city was booked. And while they had been in hotels up to that point, they were now being kicked out. And the local folks there were able to secure a relationship with Southern Nazarene University. And we spent two nights, then staying in dorm rooms. And it did rearrange my thought process in a very quick manner. I need to take a blanket. I need to take a towel. I need, you know, just some of those things because I didn't know what I was going to be walking into. And, you know, you prepare as much as you can. Then again, as Tom said, you get there and it's now it's time to, you've maybe talked the talk. Now it's time to walk the walk.
Well, and I imagine for yourself, sleeping in a sleeping bag in a dorm room is one thing, but then going out to the site where, you know, so much devastation has taken place, people sleeping in emergency shelters and worse is something completely different.
That's true. You, at the end of the night, you come back and you look at that sleeping bag and it looked like a little piece of heaven to have that sleeping bag on top of a nice mattress to climb into.
How do you process a sight like you see when you go from, I would imagine, a relatively calm, normal existence in Milwaukee to being thrown into the chaos? How did it – I mean, did it take 24 hours? Did it take the entire time you were there?
It was interesting because I walked into a team who had been on the ground already for a few days, and I flew out on Friday the 31st. My flight left at 4:45 p.m. I had a layover in Detroit, and I never got out of Detroit until noon the next day because as I sat on that layover, more storms moved into the Oklahoma area and it ended up being a new set of tornadoes that touched down. And so it was a very surreal experience to be there in the Detroit airport with all of these folks from Oklahoma who are now watching from afar and there's nothing they can do. And, you know, we ran. From there, we just hit the ground and started handing out meals as quick as we could.
I think that's probably the biggest thing is when you get there, you become immediately entrenched in what's going on, and it's probably days later that you sit back and say, "Man, I didn't realize that the devastation was going to look like this," or it could be immediately also, but I remember Ground Zero the first time I went there. They actually planned that we would be there 24 hours before we were going to be put in service, and they gave us the time to absorb and figure out where you're at and what's going on. So that was helpful for me. The other piece that's so important, the difference maybe between us and some of the other agencies there, we are a Christian organization. That spiritual aspect of it, having that foundation of God and Christ in your life is important for your well-being. It gives you that foundation to fall back onto.
When you're in a situation like that and you're helping people that have gone through this, How much do you have to look at the chaos as normal, and how much can you try to normalize the chaos or you know, take the chaos and make it less?
Well, it's important, you know, again, we have to look at it from two different viewpoints. One, us as responders, and two, as the victims or the residents that their home's now gone. This is their new normal. We have to realize that they've already dealt with a lot of things by the time we get there. And it's, you know, what have they processed and how can we help them? There's an actual transition. The first 24, 48 hours, 72 hours, they're in shock. They don't know exactly what's all happened. They can't even think logically at that point. We want to be there to help them through with that. Then there becomes a point of, oh, everybody's here to save us, to help us. And then about a week later, it's like, no, everyone's left because the media is all, you know, they've gone on to the next story. So there's this whole transition period, you know, some call it the honeymoon phases, and then others, you know, the next phase is the everyone's left us, desperate phases. We want to be there for that through all of that. The fact is the Salvation Army is still in Joplin, Missouri, 2 years after that tornado hit there. So we're going to be in, you know, Oklahoma, whether it's Moore or Oklahoma City, for a long period of time to help people transition through that. And everyone handles it differently. You know, there's certain ones that, okay, let's roll up our shirt sleeves and I'm going to get on with this. And in some ways, a tornado is a little bit of a easier disaster to handle than, for instance, a flood, because you know what you've got left after the tornado leaves. Where a flood, it's going to be weeks, months before the waters recede and you get in to clean up. But again, it's every event's a little bit different. But we want to be there to help them through that. I would think by this stage of the ball game, and you know, Chriselle, maybe you can input into this, most of that's over with. You know, it's now been, I don't know, is it 30 days since the initial Moore, Oklahoma tornado hit? They've got to move on. You know, it's now wipe off the concrete slabs and start building.
How do you decide when it's time that you can or should leave?
You know, that's a good question. The Salvation Army will always – all of the donations that the Salvation Army receives, if it's marked, you know, for the Oklahoma tornadoes, every nickel will go to the Oklahoma tornadoes, much like Joplin or any other event. So one, I guess, is when the funds are gone. But even at that point, that's not the end-all, be-all. The Salvation Army wants to be there. And like I said, we're still in Joplin helping today, whether it's just talking to individuals or helping them get back to their new normal, whatever that might be, might look like, or if they have a need, what is it? How can we be part of that, whether it's a material item or emotional, spiritual item?
Chriselle, what are the images that are going to stay with you after, you know, after you've had a chance to process your whole time there? I mean, as you went about the business of chronicling the kinds of stuff that the Salvation Army was doing on the ground, I mean, what were the kind of lengths that you saw people going to provide help?
I think I will never forget going into Moore. Kind of like Tom said, I made a point to not go into Moore until I'd been on the ground for nearly 4 days. You'd go into Moore and it's a ghost town. A lot of it, it's just a, you know, a strip clear through the middle of town and there's nothing, completely leveled. But where you see the houses, I think for me that was a little creepier. Where I can't see a house standing, I don't have that visual of what used to be. Where I can still see a house standing and the garage door's blown off and the windows are all blown in and there's holes through the ceiling where a piece of debris has come right through the roof, That's very haunting to look back on, and I know I won't forget those images. The tornadoes that came through on the 31st were actually this specific tornado has now since been recorded as the widest tornado on recorded history, 2.6 miles wide. But that was about 20 miles west of Oklahoma City. So we went out there, and I sat with a family in the middle of a hayfield and talked with the young father who told us this was now Sunday afternoon, and we shared a chicken dinner with him, and he told us that was the first meal he'd eaten since Friday. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget sitting with that young family watching them, they lived in a trailer and had, you know, their trailer was turned inside out like a tin can, and the belongings of their home were strewn across this field. And watching him and seeing the desperation in his eyes is another image I'll never forget.
You know, I've always, years ago before my work with the Salvation Army, you would hear about the horrific car accident that a small child was killed in or something, and they would always say, well, we'll have counselors at the school. And I often thought, I wonder how many people actually are seeing this counselor and how many, you know, how boring of a job that would maybe be. I've got a whole different perspective of since working with the Salvation Army and specifically in disasters that that's a very important piece, you know, whether anyone takes advantage of that or not. But mental health, you can't just stuff it down. You have to talk it out, get it out, and express yourself to help you deal with it. That's part of our concern of anyone that we send to, the, you know, any of our responders, to make sure that they're okay, health, you know, they're healthy too, because many times of some of the disasters years ago, we just sent them in, sent them home, and okay, they're on their own. That's dangerous, and we really have to understand that everybody is in a different place, and we want to help them get through that.
Chriselle, have you felt like you'd needed to talk about this since you've been back?
You know, I kept a blog, and that was very therapeutic for me to be able to vent through that outlet each night. So that was kind of my personal coping mechanism. You know, one more story I just want to quickly share is in regards to a colleague who wanted to go into more. And he says, I just wanted to see if there was any action. And same thing, at this point, it had been 2 to 3 weeks since the tornado. But he says, I wanted to see if there was anyone around, anyone I could help. And he stumbled across a woman who was trimming her shrubs. Now, mind you, this woman had no house standing, but she was out in the front yard trimming some shrubs. And so he offered to help. And she said, well, actually, I'm having a hard time reaching that spot over there. So he helped her. And then he said, is there anything else? And she said, well, if you don't mind, we could do a little bit on this other side. And so he helped to trim the other side of her bushes. And then she said, well, now, you know, we need to move the clippings out to the street. That's where they come to collect the trash. And he said at that point, he just kind of looked at her, but went ahead and picked up the clippings. He realized that he was going to have to climb over 2 or 3 piles of debris to get to the street. But for this woman, that was how she coped. And she was there still taking care of the one thing she had standing. So some of those things that you see in those stories you hear are very humbling, and it makes you come away from that a changed person.
Well, Chriselle, Tom, thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share.
Tom Tex is the Service Extension Director for the Wisconsin Upper Michigan Division of the Salvation Army. Chriselle Greenwood is Electronic Communications Manager for the Wisconsin Upper Michigan Division. She was deployed to Oklahoma in the wake of the tornado that struck the city of Moore. You can see some of her photos and find a link to her blog from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a break now and then talk with a Wisconsin woman about the process and challenges of rebuilding following a tornado. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.